Of you would take your Bibles out, please. You know, it just has to be, I guess. I hadn't thought of, I did not know Bill was going to say anything about Pastor Appreciation, but you know, there's something I like to do. This is already in my notes. I got to do it. There's something I like to do, and that is to go out and eat. Okay? That is not a hint by any means. Okay, really, it's not. For one thing, Billy Joe can't go out with me, and that kind of ruins most of it. But I really like to go out and eat. And as I thought about that, you know, for me, it's not generally the food. I mean, there are good restaurants around, and I've been in different countries, and I've been in different cities, and I've been in some nice restaurants, but it's not generally the food that makes me want to go out to eat. Most of the time, most places I have been, you know, Billy Joe and I can make as good a food as anything I can get at most restaurants, right? I mean, there are certain things, but generally, we don't go because of what they serve. We go because of the service. I like to be served. I just, you know, I'm going to sit down, I'm going to meet with some people. Instead of worrying about making the meal, and instead of worrying about serving it up, instead of worrying about cleaning the dishes or any of those kind of things, it's nice to sit and let somebody else do it. And I'm probably not alone. I mean, we spend significant amounts of money to pay other people to do these things that we would rather just not do ourselves. We like to be served. I don't know if anybody else is like that or not, but I see various heads shaking. Their heads, you know, going yes and, you know, yes. And some of you probably aren't saying yes, but you're the same. I don't know. Maybe some of you are such really, really pathetic cooks that you'd really want to go out just because, you know, anything you make at home is horrible. I have, you know, a friend of mine used to talk about how he burned water whenever he tried to boil it. And he had a hard time making Oreos out of the bag. Okay? Anyway. We do like to be served, but we are not called to be served. If we want strong, healthy relationships, and we're still in this little series on how to have strong, healthy relationships, if we want strong, healthy relationships, we need to be serving others. If you would turn to Matthew 23, Matthew chapter 23, verses 11 and 12. It's going to be projected here behind me. The greatest among you will be your servant. For whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. Our call as Christians is to humbly serve. To serve in humility. You know, Jesus' own example was him washing the feet of his disciples the evening right before he was to be arrested, right? Think of what's going through Jesus' mind. He knows in a few short hours he's going to be arrested, he's going to be tortured, he's going to be killed. There are some last really important lessons he wants to share. I don't know, if it was me, I guess I'd be thinking, you know, I want to have as easy an evening as I can and get ready for this. You know, let's rest up, you know. But Jesus, master, leader of the group, God walking on earth, performs this low, dirty, undignified job, which is fit only for a slave. He washes their feet. And of course, I mean, you may have heard this before, but these are the feet of people who walk everywhere. And they wear sandals. And there is lots and lots of dirty stuff all over the place. Okay? Before there were cars and all that kind of stuff, and there were animals in town. And animals leave things on the road. Gifts, you might say. Right? And it's not like New York and Pennsylvania make the Amish do and they have little bags under their bottoms. You know, people's feet were dirty. You think your feet get dirty? This was dirty. And he's our example. So we are called to humbly serve. We need to humbly serve. It's in our best interest. It's for us, and as well as the people that we know. Now, to serve humbly, to have the humility. See, I think we can think of humility as having a clear perspective of who we are. It's false humility to think more lowly of yourself than is appropriate. Okay? I mean, if you're very good at something, okay, whatever, right? You're really good at fixing automobiles. To tell people, no, I can't. You need a spark plug change. I could never do that. Okay, that's false humility. We need a clear perspective of who we are. Well, humility starts with our perspective of who we are before God. And who am I before God? Well, I'm not God. When I stand before God, I have to recognize that I am not the one in charge. I'm not the creator and the sustainer of everything. I like to think of myself as that, don't I? Or we? I like to think of myself as the center of the universe. But we're not. I'm not. You're not. We are terribly fallen. We are horribly rebellious. Horribly rebellious. I mentioned a couple weeks ago, this question, it just shows our lack of humility. It shows our pride as people. One of the grand questions about God is, how could God allow bad things to happen to good people? Right? Everybody wants to know that one. And it's the wrong question. There are no good people. So the question is, why do good things happen to bad people? No one wants to think about that, because we all see ourselves as good, but we're not. And you know that. We deserve punishment. I mean, that's who we are. But God gives us his favor. We call it grace. Jesus died for us. In Jesus, we're forgiven, we're loved, we're children. We're given the Holy Spirit to help us. We're given access to God. We're given new life, full life, eternal life. That's who we are. And humility is recognizing all of those things. And then with the right perspective of who we are before God, we can look at everyone else and see how our relationships are with everyone else. And we can serve each other because of who we recognize we are. We've been given so much. God has served us so much. I mean, the idea of Jesus coming and dying for us, that was all he did. God has given us so much, even though we're so undeserving, but we can serve others. If God on earth is willing to wash my feet, how can I refuse to serve other people? Humbly serving really has nothing to do with the other person that we're serving. It doesn't matter how deserving or undeserving the person is. That's not an issue. We have been so undeserving before God, how could we call anybody undeserving? I'll say that again. We've been so undeserving before God, how can we call somebody else so undeserving? I think we can serve the lowest. Now, we do tend to think of ourselves too much. We tend to think too highly of ourselves. We tend to think about ourselves too much. Right? Our thoughts tend to focus around our own selves a lot. C.S. Lewis once said, "Humility is not thinking less of yourself, it is thinking of yourself less." It's getting our heads off of ourselves and onto other people. We think way too much about our own wants. We think way too much about our own needs. We worry too much about our own status. Getting what we deserve, right? I'm worth it. I need to get my part. Instead, maybe we should be worried more about the people around us get their part. What needs do other people have? Some ways to work on humility and to work on serving. The first one would be to stop demanding your own way. We do that in a lot of different ways. You know, a lot of things are along the lines of it's my way or the highway. You know, we get so sure of ourselves. You know, I just know I'm right. You know, when you are really, really, really sure you're right, are you? I certainly believe in truth, but I'm not always sure I know what it is. I certainly believe that there are right ways and wrong ways to do things, but I'm not always sure that I know the right way. Ephesians 4, 2, and 3 says, it's projected again, Ephesians 4, 2, and 3, "Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace." So we need to deal gently and patiently with each other. People are more important than most of the things that divide us. We need to quit arguing about the things that don't matter. And most of the things that we argue about don't matter. Most of the arguments that I have gotten myself into in my life, it didn't matter. A lot of times when people come to me and they want my support, or they want to talk something out, they're talking about arguments they've had, most of the time, this stuff didn't matter. You know. It's prideful to have to always be right. It's prideful to have to always get the last word in. It's prideful to have to always save face and look like you know what you're doing. You know, there are things that we should be ready to die for. Like Jesus is Lord. But we tend to be willing to die for other things instead. So we don't need to demand our own way. We also don't need to demand being recognized or being noticed. You know, we love to be noticed. We love to get attention, right? At least most of us do. Some people crave being wallflowers, but we also like to be noticed for being wallflowers. We like somebody to notice that we're there. So why don't we do that for other people? Give other people attention. Listen to people. You know, a lot of our conversations, as we are listening to people, while the other person is talking, we're trying to formulate our response. You ever notice that? Do that. Think about it sometime. You don't do it too much because then you have three things that you're doing instead of specifically listening to the person. But just try it out once, okay? Now, it's awkward to have a conversation like this, but try having a conversation when You don't try to formulate your response until after the person's done talking. Okay, it'll frustrate the daylights out of you. Okay, it's frustrating. Okay, but you learn to listen because you quit making assumptions about what the person's going to say. A great listening tool. Billy Joe will laugh as he listens on the phone because she knows I hate this. I mean, I really hate it. Okay, there aren't many things I hate, but this one I am sure God will forgive me of. And that is when you do this active listening stuff, right? Somebody says something to you, and you have to repeat it back to them, but using other words. You can't use the same words because that's cheating. Then you figure out what you're going to say. Can I just have my skin peeled off? Because that's what it feels like. That's what it feels like. Cut my arm open and start rubbing salt in it or something. But it's a really, really good tool because we learn to listen. Try to really hear people. What are they really saying? Your friends. Have you ever been in a conversation and you're trying to express, maybe you don't know how to express your feelings? Okay, well, that's practically every guy sitting here, but even women have this problem once in a while. At least I'm told it happens. You're trying to express something, and the person you're talking to just can't get it. It's terribly frustrating. Okay, now, Billy Joe has that problem like all the time we talk, but I try. Try to listen. If you know what it's like, how frustrating it can be, that when people don't really get it, try to get it with people. What most people want more than anything else is for somebody to understand. We can go through an awful lot of difficulties. We can go through an awful lot of hardships if somebody will just understand. They don't have to fix it. They don't have to help. Just let me know you know how I feel. Notice people. Let people know they're cherished. Let people know that they matter. Romans 15, 1-3 says, "We who are strong ought to bear with the failings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Each of us should please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the insults of those who insult you have fallen on me." When people are weak and people are failing, we need to bear with them. We need to help them. When people are struggling, they need our help. No one needs our judgment. Nobody. They need our help. And our help should point people to Christ. You and I need to do what we can do. Jesus does use us as hands and feet and use us to speak. It's very incarnate. Jesus in the world to have people with you. So we need to be obedient and do what God tells us and try to help people. But ultimately, we are not the helpers. Ultimately, we are not the healers. God is. We need to point people to God. We need to point people to Christ. That's what they need, whether they know it or not. Somehow, we need to be helping them get closer to God. When you want to know how to help somebody, now sometimes God just really makes it clear to us. It's just really, really clear this is what we got to do. But there are plenty of times, at least in my life, where I don't know. There are so many things that go on, and I don't know what the right answer is. The first question should be, what would best point this person to Jesus? What would best help them connect to a loving Father? You know, people come up with questions about, you know, you read the stuff about, people are being shunned and all that kind of stuff. And should we really do that? Should we not? And, you know, what best points somebody to Christ? There are times people need to be corrected. There are times people need to even be rebuked. Times to sit down and say, look, what you are doing is wrong. But there are lots of times, too, where people just need to be propped up. People need to be held, carried. Very often when we start talking about trying to help people, what we do is we help in ways to please ourselves. Okay? And we should never be like that. The emphasis should be building them up, getting them closer to Christ. And we shouldn't take the easy way out. The easy way is rarely the right way. By the way, tolerance is not the opposite of judgment. Okay, judgment and tolerance are not opposites. Plenty of people that are around me would try to tell me that it is. Okay, since I'm not going to be judgmental, I need to allow everything. Okay, the opposite of judgment is mercy. And mercy is not the same as tolerance. Okay? Mercy is helping people out of their trouble and out of their sin. God, by His grace, in His mercy, sent Christ to help us. You know, Matthew chapter 7, Jesus tells us not to judge. Okay? You know, in that same chapter, He tells us that we need to remove the sin from our own lives before we deal with the sin of others. Not instead of dealing with the sin of others, but before. You know that whole speck and log thing? He says, don't worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye. First, take care of the log in your own eye. Then you can worry about the speck in your neighbor's eye. We don't just ignore sin. He doesn't say we should ignore sin in our own lives or in the lives of those who are close to us. See, mercy is helping others as one who has already been helped. See, by looking at my own sin first, and I recognize my own fallenness, and I know how hard it is to get over this stuff, and, you know, we have... Sometimes I call them signature sins. Sins that just almost define who we are. You know, when we think of ourselves, we just know it's that one, right? If we're going to fall, this is the way it's going to be. And we know how hard it is to overcome that. So in mercy, we can help others. When I recognize how hard it is for me to overcome sin in my life, it's easy for me to help other people without trying to condemn them. In mercy, I can say, I will help you remove that little speck because I recognize God is helping me take this monstrous log out of my life. And that's a great way to serve people. To show grace. To show mercy. I'm going to close with a final verse, then we're going to pray, and we have a final song. So here's this last verse, Colossians 3, starting at verse 12. Therefore, as God's chosen people, that's you and me, holy and dearly loved, you are holy and you are dearly loved. So clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. Over all these virtues put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Please stand as we pray, and then we'll sing together. Lord God, you know that in our natural state, in our fallenness, our humanness, our worldliness, humbly serving is difficult. Being other-centered is difficult. Doing the low jobs is difficult. Teach us, Lord, to humbly serve each other. Teach us, Lord, to humbly serve the neediest, the dirtiest, the lowest. Teach us, Lord, to humbly serve those whose personality is great against ours. Teach us, Lord, to offer mercy and grace. Make us servants. Make us servants like our Lord, our Master Jesus, as He showed Himself. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.